Sometimes the Lord speaks to us and we hear things and when we least expect it. And I'm trusting that the presence of God here this morning would overwhelm you and send you home different than the way you came in. Nothing more awesome than getting a visit from Jesus. And, you know, we want to feed you spiritually this morning, and then we want you to come downstairs and we're going to feed you physically. And so you'll be fed up when you leave this place. You know, some might say we're celebrating 20 years. The last 20 years, I got the pastor here, and we're celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ has brought us from the beginning of those 20 to the end. We're celebrating Jesus every step of the way because, you know, there was predictions and prophecies. You won't last 6 months. But God had a different plan, thank God. And we're here because of his faithfulness. We're here because of his kindness, his love, and his workings. And so I celebrate the Lord this morning. And that's what we need to celebrate. And that's why I said to Clayton, congratulations. And he said, what for? I said, for the last 20 years. Amen. And a few others, but I can't make the list right now. I'm supposed to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. And I want to start off in 1 Corinthians, excuse me, chapter 15 and verses 21 to 22. And it says, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And what I liked about this verse is that it talks about two different circles of life. One that's perishing and passing away, one that's eternal. It's talking about two different spheres in which we can live out our life. You know, people in the world are living out their life in Adam, in the old creation. And I lived there for 27 years. That's why I know about it. And I lived by my five senses of the natural man. And I lived for myself and didn't give God too much attention in my life at all. I don't think he came to mind much until I was introduced to Jesus. Then after I found Jesus, or Jesus found me, I found a new way of living. Jesus brought me into a different life, and an eternal life, a spiritual life. And now I'm living in a different sphere or circle. The circle, hallelujah, that Christ brought me into. And I get to choose every day which circle I want to live in when I get up. Isn't that awesome? And so it was like being woke up from a sleep. It was like a light went on and I could see. It was like a veil was taken away from my eyes. And I finally got it. Jesus is alive and he made me alive spiritually. He makes us alive by causing us to be born again. And I was made alive because previously I was dead in my sins and trespasses. And after he forgives us, he makes us alive. He makes our spirit within us alive. And so I was beginning to experience a whole new realm in which I could live in. A whole new sphere of life. Praise God. And it was pretty exciting. You know, Andrew Murray has this to say about a tree. He said, a tree can only grow from the nourishment that comes from the root of that tree. And a tree can only be the same as the seed that was planted in the soil. And if we take those and apply them to the first Adam and to this last Adam, or to Christ, this circle or this nature in each one of us that's going to grow the most is the one that we feed the most. Amen. And you got to feed them according to the nourishment that they need. And so we want to feed the spiritual man within us so that he grows. I am excited today. And you know, the Jewish people, they can boast and say, I'm of the tribe of Judah, or I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. And I can top all those things. I'm of the tribe of Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead. Hallelujah. I'm a member of the blood-bought church of the redeemed. Amen. Because I was dead and he's made me alive. And so if an angel or the devil or anyone else asks what tribe you're of, you tell them I'm of the tribe of Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead. Amen. And can you say that today? Do you belong to Jesus? Hallelujah. And so, and the Lord's in the life-changing business, you know. And I was just an old chunk of coal when he found me. But he's going to make me into a diamond someday. And the work's already started. And he finds you one way, but he's not going to leave you that way. And in Isaiah 41, there's a little verse I want to share with us. And it says, "Fear not, you worm, Jacob." Descriptive words for Jacob and Jacob or Israel. And that Jacob represented Israel. He said, "Fear not, you worm, Jacob, you men of Israel. I'll help you, says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and make them hills and chaff." Have you ever heard a contrast from a worm to a machine with teeth? And but God's able to change one into the other, he says. That's God speaking. Amen. And, you know, worms are, they're not too fearless. They're not too fearful. There's nothing to be afraid of. They have no defense, really. And, you know, the birds of the air come and pick them off the grass and eat them up. And you got to be careful walking down the sidewalk after there's been a little bit of a rain or you're going to step on a worm. And they're easily bruised. They're easily crushed. But on the other hand, here's a threshing sledge with sharp teeth. And most folks probably don't know what a threshing sledge is. But it's they would take two or three boards, maybe about that wide and about that high, and they'd bore holes in the back, and they'd wedge stones in them so the stones didn't fall out. And then they would get their stalks of wheat, and they'd throw them on the threshing floor, and they'd drag this sledge over them, and it would separate the wheat from the stalk. That's and so something with teeth is able to leave its mark on something. And so this threshing sledge wasn't easily broken. And here our mighty God is able to, well, convert one into the other. He can take a man or he can take a nation that has the value of a worm, and he can make them a mighty thing that can, and with sharp teeth, that can leave their mark on time and on history. Praise God. And so this is just a little witness how God is able to change us. Amen. And so all us worms can take courage today. Hallelujah. The Lord can make me all he wants me to be. Amen. And he can strengthen us so that we're stronger than our circumstances that we have to face. And another word that came to me this week, and I wasn't sure if it was for me or for someone else. And the word was this: "This thing is from me. But I'm not going through anything, Lord. What do you mean this thing is from me?" And I never got the answer yet. So maybe it was for you and not for me. But the Lord said, "This thing is from me." And so I turned to Exodus chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. "So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor," or hardship, harshness. "And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. All the service in which they made them serve was with rigor, with harshness." And so something suddenly went wrong here in Egypt. And the Lord could have said to them, "Don't worry, this thing's for me." But this was a terrible thing. Suddenly they were taken into slavery. And they went from their great freedom and growing in leaps and bounds into slavery, into bondage. And in the heart of this trouble, in the heart of this trial, was the plans and purposes of God was bound up in that trouble. Amen. The Lord could have said, "This thing's for me." Amen. And "this thing is from me." You know, interesting that God was just stirring his nest here. Amen. He was stirring up a nest. When Christ builds his kingdom, You know, he fills them with earth's broken pieces. You know? Heaven's full of earth's broken pieces. Broken relationships, broken in every which way. And that's what sin did when it came into the world. It's ruined God's creation. It's ruined the human race. And heaven's full of broken pieces. And I would like to say that, you know, any bruised reed, God can heal it, raise it up. God can take earth's saddest stories and lift them up into heaven's glory. Amen. That's what I love about the Lord. He can take a poor lost sinner, make something beautiful and something good out of him. Hallelujah. And so the Lord is able to, and he is building things. Did the lights just go out? Okay, good. That's all right. It's just not my light bulb up here going out. Give me another 15 minutes, Lord. Yeah. She's messing with me. So it's not the big one. Praise God. And so when God's children were living in Egypt in the land of Goshen, it seemed like this trouble came out of nowhere. It just came out of nowhere. And Joseph and his family had passed away, and a new king had been raised up. This new king now was concerned about the population of the Israelites, so he took them and made slaves out of them, and they were building cities for him. But things took a sudden turn, but the Lord was in this sudden turn. The Lord was in this thing, and it was from the Lord, and the Lord was really getting them ready to lead them out. But isn't it interesting that a new king had risen up and taken them into slavery? And, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, it's really a picture. When Adam and Eve sinned, a new ruler was raised up on planet Earth. And Jesus talks about him in the 14th chapter of John, verse 30. And it says, "For I'll no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me." And he was talking about Satan, of course. And so here we have a picture in a picture where when sin came into the world, it changed the dynamics of everything, and Satan was ruling and reigning in man's fallen race. And he still does over those who don't follow Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. The ruler of this world. So here's a picture in a picture, like I said, and king arose to take God's children into captivity in both instances. And at that time, no one understood or recognized that the purposes and plans of God were being activated over God's house. Hallelujah. God was stirring up his nest, and he's getting the children of Israel ready to move forward. They were ready now. You know, God has a timing for everything. In God's time, don't worry. If you're praying and looking for an answer, God's got a time for your answer to show up. Amen. And so here they were, and they were in a bad place. They were being enslaved, and they had rigor or harshness and in their labor. And at the time, no one understood or recognized that the purposes and plans of God were being activated over the house of God. This was God activating his own plans. And his plans were at the heart of the trouble. Amen. He was stirring things up. And the reason he is stirring things up is because he's the covenant-keeping God. And he was reminded of the covenant that he had with Abraham. He's a covenant-keeping God. And I'm sure all Israel could see the evil that was trying to rivet itself to them. But the Lord would beat back the darkness. He would fight for them. It's a wonderful thing when you're in a struggle and the Lord speaks to you and says, "Be still and know that I am God. I've got everything under control. I've got things in my hands." And he beats back the darkness. He fights for us. Hallelujah. I'm so glad He fights for us. Praise God.